lives easier. So there's certainly a group of public officials who are working to resolve this issue and hold the sheriff's department accountable, but it's very unclear what the result will be, and it seems that the sheriff's department is posturing itself to collaborate further with ICE rather than addressing the transparency and accountability concerns that have been raised.
Now, I know in Rensselaer County, which unfortunately has been probably the county most cooperative with ICE in New York State, the county sheriff is up for re-election this year. Actually, the incumbent has decided not to seek re-election. Is the county sheriff up for re-election in Columbia County, or are they on a different schedule?
They are on a different election schedule. This sheriff came into office in January of 2022. And this policy was passed in February of 2021 as part of the police reform process. At that time, his predecessor was the sheriff.
So are there other things that the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement is working on at the moment?
Of course. Regarding this incident, we have been told by the sheriff's department that there are currently 10 individuals who are being held in their facility, and both in meetings as well as in public comment to media outlets, the sheriff has been very adamant that he will do the same exact thing that he did on June 2nd with this member, which is to collaborate with ICE and give them to ICE in what he calls a secure way inside of his own facility. Beyond our accountability and transparency work around non-cooperation agreements in the region, we also have a plethora of services that we offer members, and currently we are the lead organization working with asylum seekers who have been bused to Albany. But we are a robust organization. I encourage everybody to visit our website to learn more about all of our programming and campaign work.
What's the website?
SanctuaryColumbiaCounty.org.
Now, you also mentioned that the individual who was recently turned over to ICE is in Batavia, is coming up for his first hearing. You know, what is, I assume it's his prospects, and, you know, what are the chances that, you know, that he could be released now that he's in ICE custody?
Unfortunately, I'm not at liberty to discuss the particulars of the individual's case, but what I can say is that he is trying to obtain a bond hearing, at which point the judge will determine if he has to fight his defensive immigration case within the confines of the detention center, or if he'll be released back to his family and be able to fight his deportation from the outside. Of course, we hope that he will be released, both for his family and his own health. And the reality of the situation is that individuals who are on the non-detained docket have a lot more flexibility and options for legal representation, therefore strengthens their chances of winning their case.
So how many people in, you know, in Columbia County, you know, are in need of, you know, basically, you know, sanctuary or undocumented workers and are, you know, subject to deportation?
That's a very hard number to come up with, in part because there's no systemic way of collecting that data. As one can imagine, undocumented folks are traditionally fearful of participating in census data collection. And also CCSM works with immigrants as a whole, which is a spectrum from undocumented to a naturalized citizen. So we currently have about 2,500 members throughout Columbia, Greene, Rensselaer, Albany, and Northern Dutchess counties, but there's not a hard number on how many of those folks are undocumented versus how many of them have some sort of status or are allies.
Now, I mentioned that Rensselaer County, you know, particularly at the county level, the leadership, the sheriff, and the county executive are not at all supportive and of immigrants. And, you know, the sanctuary resolution that was passed in the city of Troy actually was vetoed by the Democratic mayor, Patrick Madden. How, you know, you have obviously managed to get to Columbia to take a position not to county not to cooperate with ICE other than the sheriff. How, in general, is the sanctuary movement being, you know, accepted by the powers that be in the county?
We are, of course, completely against the Rensselaer County Sheriff's Department 287G agreement with ICE. They are the only department in the entire state, and we have been campaigning with our allied organizations in Rensselaer County to shut down that jail. There are a number of concerns with the treatment of all prisoners there, and we are particularly outraged by the treatment of immigrants as well as their collaboration, desire to continue to collaborate with ICE. Columbia County is definitely a county which many of our community members pride themselves on supporting vulnerable populations. And I believe that the police reform process was an important part of the community being able to give feedback to police in a time where policing strategy was under extreme scrutiny for very good reason. And the police reform process resulted in this policy being passed. This was actually the most significant policy passed within that process. We have had a variety of responses from elected officials throughout our county. The city of Hudson is, of course, a bit more amenable to working with the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement.
And Brian McCormick, Columbia County Sanctuary Movement website.
SanctuaryColumbiaCounty.org.
And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
On Saturday, July 22nd, turn out or tune in to Wave Farm for a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium. Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium will be the 13th installation at Wave Farm's Art Park. And on Saturday, July 22nd, it'll be inaugurated from noon to 6 p.m. with a day of percussionist performances. Those percussionists include Lisa Stoneberg and Leah Bowden, Zuki Legba and special guests, Chris Corsano and Bobby Previtt. And Saturday, July 22nd's performances are part of Upstate Art Weekend, which is at Wave Farm and many other locations. Tune in or turn out to a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium, Saturday, July 22nd from noon to 6 p.m. in the Wave Farm Art Park in Acra.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
come and go, you come and go. Loving will be the evening colors of light, my dream. Red, gold, and green. Red, gold, and green. Come, 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 chameleon. You come and go, you come and go. Loving will be the evening colors of light, my dream. Red, gold, and green. Red, gold, and green. Come, 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 chameleon. You come and go, you come and go.
Welcome, radio listeners. You are listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WJHT 94.7 FM, Athens, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for helping years. I'm Claire. I'm from Athens, and I'm 8 years old.
And I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books. Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things. And that's what we're going to do today.
You got the hiccups. I had the hiccups really badly the other day. I could not get rid of them, and I don't know what caused them.
I don't know what causes hiccups.
But you know you got them sometimes. But anyways, in addition to sharing hiccups, we share in the joy of talking about books on this radio show. And we're usually joined by our friends, Georgia and Fatia, and sometimes Amelia. But they couldn't make it today, so it's just me and Claire today talking about books. It's the Claire and Emily show. Da, 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 da. So, Claire, what did you want to talk about today?
I have two Simpsons books.
Whoa.
So, this is, so to all people who don't know The Simpsons, it's really good Ultimate TV show, and these are some how-to guides about this, about them.
Some how-to guides?
Well, sort of. This one, another Are We There Yet book. And it was Matt Groening. Matt Groening may invent The Simpsons. The Simpsons, Guide to Springfield for a Simpsons book. And then it talks all about all the places in Springfield. And, like, when you're going to Springfield, where do you stay? What attractions are there, you know?
So it's like a... Like if you were going on vacation to Simpsons Land?
Yeah, or
what if you'd see and do.
Well, it's not like Simpsons Land. It's like the Simpsons TV show.
That show's been on forever.
It's really good for those Simpsons nerds out there. And it's really good for people who don't even know what Homer's favorite food is. So, like, if you want to, like, you know, learn about Simpsons, you know what it is. These books, I think, are great starters. It has perfect pictures, funny stuff, much more.
Cool.
And I'll read, like, a little bit of it because it has something on Springfield.
Yeah.
Home of Elopolis Springfield, A&M, the Blinky, the world's first three-eyed fish, birthplace of Flaming Moe, you mean Homer, and site of, yeah. So, if I keep on going this, you probably not, so people who don't know about Simpsons aren't gonna know about all this stuff, but if you want to know about, like, some things like the Flaming Moe, I don't think it talks about the Flaming Moe in here. I think it talks about the Flaming Moe in a TV show, so that's the only place that I've seen.
So, are you a big Simpsons fan?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So you're more of a Simpsons... Oh, you have another Simpsons book.
Sorry.
Do you think of yourself as a Simpsons nerd?
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah? Okay. I like The Simpsons. I don't know if I'd consider myself a nerd, but it's been around for the majority of my life. So
my favorite TV show.
I feel like I've seen it here and there.
My favorite movie is The Simpsons movie.
I did like The Simpsons movie quite a bit.
Yeah. The Simpsons, A Complete Guide to Our Favorite Family. Characters, episodes, and secret jokes you might have missed. So that's why I really like this one. I think it's a little bit bigger. It tells you all about these episodes, you know, stuff like that. I like this one because it tells you about the TV shows, you know.
As somebody that is a bit of a Simpsons nerd, do you find that there's things in the books that surprise you? Like yeah. things you didn't notice or know?
Yeah, things. This one's more of like a book that like somebody who already like really knows The Simpsons could go into. I don't think like somebody who has never seen The Simpsons before should read this one because it like has a lot more condiments and things that I don't think somebody who was, no offense, a beginner Simpson would know about. But you know, it's really a great book if you're like looking for something to read on a long drive because it's very big and it's very great with family. It has all, and it has like little pages like an itchy and scratchy film graphity or how much couch gags and when does Homer say It has like stuff like that throughout the book.
I find it really interesting that the show's been on for over 30 years and the characters don't age at all. They just always say the same age.
Mortality. Is that what it's called?
I don't know. Mortality?
Mortality.
They're immortal. But they're also, I don't know what a word would be for non-aging. I don't know if there is a word for that. There must be, right? They don't age. They stay the same. They're like caught in a time loop. Like every January 1st, it begins a new January 1st. The same. So is it all? But then the time changes. Because presumably in the early episodes, that's curious. Because I assume like now on the show they have modern technology. Whereas...
So they sort of did change.
So technology grows, but the people don't.
Like, they're the same, but different.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting how that show has stayed popular year after year after year.
All about the Simpsons family and more characters. And beside, like, Apu, Mr. Monty Burns, Flanders, Willie, and all the other characters, like Mama and Velma? Selma and
Patty. Oh, Velma, yeah. That's like Marge's sister.
Marge's sisters. Velma and something. Velma and Patty. Velma.
Do you have a favorite character on the show?
I know. My favorite character in The Simpsons family is Lisa and Bart.
So the kids.
Lisa and Bart, though. And then my favorite character out of the family, you can ask your friends this, is my favorite character out of the family is the... two sisters. I really like the two sisters and Mel.
Cool.
Oh, and I have one more book. This is not a Simpsons book. Really, for all those people who are
For anyone listening, anyone listening that is not a Simpsons fan or nerd or want to be one of those, here's the book for you, maybe.
Okay. So, this is not a unicorn. Okay? Really, it's not you.
It is not.
So...
This is a picture book.
It's like really funny at the end. It's like, this is not a unicorn. This is a, for example, a scoopicorn. Make a secret wishicorn. Catch the biggest fishicorn. No, I don't want to spoil it.
I like catch the biggest fishicorn. I like that one. Does it catch it with its horn? Spear fishing.
Barry Timmy's Jed Adams.
Those are the author and illustrator.
Cozy Crow. It's Cozy Crow book. With a free stories aloud smartphone audiobook. See inside front cover. What?
It's supposed to have an audiobook?
It has. This is. The front cover.
Where is it?
I don't know. Maybe
what happened to
maybe it? Maybe somebody stole it.
Rude. Sometimes those books, I see that's a library book. Sometimes books, we get books at the library that have discs and they're not really designed for people to use more than once. Like they're not really properly attached. And so I usually just sort of doctor up a thing where it can be stored in the book. But some libraries just take the CD out. And sometimes people take them. And then you don't have a CD anymore.
So this is a fun thing when you're bored. You could, like, imagine, like, how was it taken? I imagine, like, this is funny, like, maybe a girl is, like, helping her mom in the kitchen, and then there's a baby, and the baby, like, open, and she was, like, playing with something she wasn't supposed to, and the dad was, like, here, sit and look at this book, and she was, like, okay, yeah, yeah, because they're, like, a toddler, and then they're, like, and then they, like, pull the CD out, and then they, like, perfectly, so it didn't make a mark, and then, like, I'm gonna keep it, and then they lied to the parents, so the parents didn't know. And then none of the other family had opened it before the toddler had opened it, so they thought that it just didn't have a CD.
It's not in the back of the book. Sometimes it's in the back. Is it there?
No.
Nope. Oh, well. That was some fun imagining.
Oh, and one more book.
So many books.
Either.
Sorry. Oh, this is a... Oh, I read that book a long time ago, and I loved it.
Oh, no.
It's been a long time.
Let's see. So, my mom... So I've been reading this.
You say, a wizard of Earth.
Yeah.
Kind of saying it.
I read a little bit of it, and it is great. Like, amazing.
That's by Ursula. I said her name funny. Ursula K. Le Guin.
Ursula.
Ooh, she's a very cool. popular author.
Ursula from The Little Mermaid. I shall sue you. I'm joking.
Yeah, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. It's not very nice, but she wrote some great books.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a fun series. I forget exactly what it's about, but a young man goes to like a school or to train to be a wizard. And there's lots of adventure. And it's part of, I think it's part of a trilogy, but then there's also other books set within Earthsea. And I've read the first two, and I loved the second one as well. But then I never read the third one. I need to do it.
There's two good things about being on radio show with you.
What's that?
When we ask you to play some songs after the show, you always do it. And, like, if we want, we can, like, advertise if we have a club or something.
Mm-hmm.
If we're making a club on, like, a different day, we can do that, right?
Sort of. We can't advertise on the radio, but we can, like, tell people about things that are happening that are free. But we couldn't be like, come buy this thing.
No,
it's but yeah, but we can talk about things that are happening. Did you have something you wanted to, a club you wanted to share?
No.
Not yet. Someday? You just want to know if it's a possibility?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your chair is making a funny noise.
And I sound like a spider.
Cool, so you just started A Wizard of Earthsea? You haven't finished it yet? Is that correct?
Yeah, I have not finished it.
So maybe when you're finished, you can talk about it some more. Let us know how it went.
I am only at page 51.
Cool. Mm-hmm. We've got some ways to go. I wanted to share a couple books coming out soon that I thought sounded good. And let's see. I'll pick the two that are coming out the most soonest. Is that proper grammar? So this first one is called Once in a Blue Moon by Sharon G. Flake, who's written a lot of really acclaimed books. And this is a book in verse set in the 1930s. So here is the description. James Henry hasn't been the same since that fateful night at the lighthouse when his mama went into the sea. Now, months later, he is barely able to leave the house without having a panic attack. And talking to people, well, that's just too hard. His feisty twin sister, Hattie, intervenes on his behalf again and again, protecting him from neighborhood bullies and an uncle who just wants him to snap out of it. But it's 1939, and without a local doctor to help, there's only so much rallying Hattie can do. Finding a way back into his own life will mean confronting the truth about what happened at the lighthouse, a step James Henry isn't sure he can take until a blue moon is forecast, and as Gran has said, everything is possible under a rare blue moon. Told in verse, this is a beautiful and uplifting story of family, healing, and redemption. That's Once in a Blue Moon by Sharon G. Flake. It comes out on July 11th, and it is a middle grade chapter book in verse. And as dedicated Bound by Books listeners know, I like a good book in verse. The other book that I will share is also a middle grade book. This one gears a little younger. Like the Sharon Flake book is suggested for 8 to 12. This one is suggested for 6 to 9. And it is called The Skull, a Tyrolean Folktale. And it's by John Klassen, who is an author and illustrator of a lot of picture books that I've really enjoyed. He's also done some other chapter books as well. But I really love his illustrated picture books. They're some of the best. And so here is the description for this one. John Klassen's signature wry humor takes a turn for the ghostly in this thrilling retelling of a traditional Tyrolean folktale. In a big abandoned house on a barren hill lives a skull. A brave girl named Otilla has escaped from terrible danger and run away, and when she finds herself lost in the dark forest, the lonely house beckons. Her host, the skull, is afraid of something too, something that comes every night. Can brave Otilla save them both? Steeped in shadows and threaded with subtle wit, with rich monochromatic artwork and an illuminating author's note, The Skull is as empowering as it is mysterious and foreboding. So that's The Skull by John Klassen. And I remember when I first read this, I had to look up Tyrolean because I didn't know what it was. I think it's like, it's from relating to or a characteristic of the Austrian state of Tyrol or its inhabitants. So it's somewhere in Austria.
Australia?
Austria.
Ooh.
In Europe. Radio listeners can't see this, but I will share my screen so that my co-host can see what the illustrations look like. There's a sample page that I found online. So like, it's a heavily illustrated chapter book because he is a really great illustrator. But I'll read the little blurb that they have from the story. It says, they walked into the hall. It is a nice house, said Otilla. Yes, said the skull. I have always liked it here. Have you lived here for a long time, said Otilla? Yes, said the skull. So there's a little girl carrying around a skull through this shadowy castle. And it's got sort of grays